I managed not to do that first service, Dennis. All right, anyway. Hey, let me just tell you really quick, and I am embarrassed to say that first service, so I'm going to do it right now while it's fresh on my mind. I goofed up first service. Are y'all, like, sleeping? What's the deal? our students, the reason they would be sleeping if they were, I want you to know, if you came in this morning and you looked at the glass in the doors, or you looked at the baseboards, or if you randomly accidentally walked into a closet looking for a bathroom, looked at the floors, realized that everything is unbelievably organized in the pew rack in front of you, whatever it may be, it is simply because our students worked their fingers to the bone yesterday in your church and in their church. So let's give them a hand for the job that they did. The other thing I want to say, and I think it's very important that I do that in this service as well, for those of you who don't know me very well, I grew up from the age of about 13 in Wildwood, and so I was a youth at this church. So being able this morning to have the opportunity to stand here and to speak to you, to share with you some things that are on my heart, it's very surreal because it's one of those things that you kind of go, you know, I don't know that that would ever happen. So I just want to thank you for not seeing my name in the bulletin and deciding to leave. And also, I just want to, again, say thank you to Pastor Rick for the opportunity. In light of the video that we just saw, Todd Hanlon, thank you very much. I have a note from Todd Hanlon written on my notes. We're going to talk about an inverted life this morning. And in light of the video that we just saw, you know, how often is that true in our life, that as we go throughout our relationship with Christ, as we start walking in that from the moment that we accept Him into our heart, and we start trying to read the Scripture and look at the Scripture, there is a certain level of understanding, a certain capacity of what we can comprehend in our relationship with Him and what we see in the Scripture. There are certain verses that I don't want you to misunderstand what I say, that when we read those things, that are going to be staple verses that we can always go back to. There are going to be staple books of the Bible that that we end up just going, you know what, this is my book. You know, this is the book for me. But the problem is we sometimes can get ourselves into a rut, that what happens is we go, you know what, this may be my book, this may be my verses, whatever, but those become all we've got, in a sense. There's nothing to deepen our faith. There's nothing to take us further. There's nothing to challenge us with anything else, because we get to the point that we just go, you know what, I can just stay right here because this is comfortable and this is okay. So we need to think about that. We need to process that. The other thing is that we get so comfortable in the place that we are at that we begin to miss out on just what God might have for us, the blessings that He has for us, in us being willing to say, you know what, I'm going to deepen my walk with Him. I'm going to spend more time with Him in Scripture. I'm going to spend more time with Him in prayer, you know, on a continual basis. I tell the students all the time, because, you know, as a church, as we start raising kids up in the church, and again, don't misunderstand me in what I'm saying, but we get so dogmatic in saying, you've got to read your Bible every day, you've got to pray every day, and we come down so hard, especially on our students and our little kids, that what happens when we become adults, that there's this unnecessary guilt that gets placed onto our shoulders, that we sit there and all of a sudden what happens is we miss it a day, or we don't do it in the morning, because, you know, that's really the only time that God can speak to you, is if you wake up early in the morning and read your Bible and pray, because, you know, He's got this little clock that sits up there and says, okay, I'm answering prayers and gonna show people things in Scripture right now. All right. The issue with that is we become so dogmatic in that, is that we get caught up with, well, I didn't do it this morning. Well, now that I didn't do it this morning, God's just not going to speak to me, and I just might as well not do it. The point is that we've just got to find that time that we can get into the Scripture. we've got to find that time throughout the day to just take moments as they come and just go, God, what is it you're trying to show me today? Not saying that having a consistent time that you can say, this is when I'm just going to pray. Okay? Don't want you to misunderstand me. But to say, you know what? I'm going to pray throughout the day, throughout my day. I'm going to look at Scripture for things to encourage me as certain things are going on. The bigger question is just how effective could we be if each and every one of us here at Wildwood Baptist Church decided that I'm going to have a Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so mentality. If we just based who we are and what we do as a believer off of Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. There would be no depth in any of us to the point that if God did call us to do something greater, if God was beckoning to us to do something greater, would we even recognize it and realize it? So I want us to think through that. I want us to start processing that in our brain as to just what it is that God might be calling us to do. So I want you to turn this morning to Psalms 107, chapter 107, and we're going to look at verses 23 through 32 for just a couple of minutes. Psalms 107, starting verse 23. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens. They went down to the depths. Their souls melted away in their misery. They reeled and they staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Remember that because we're going to come back to it. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He caused the storm to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet. So he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol him also in the congregation of the people and praise him at the seat of the elders. What holds us back? What holds us back? Is it money? Is money that thing? I mean, believe me, the economy, the way it is, everything that's happening and all those things, the uncertainty in that. Is it money that holds us back from being willing to go on a mission trip? Is it money that holds us back from going and saying, I'm gonna be a part of this thing, whatever this thing might be, that God would call you to do? Is that the constriction? Because my Bible, my Scripture, my Word of God says that he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Money is not an option. What keeps us from stepping into the water? Is it fear? Is it disappointment? Is it uncertainty? Is it fear of what if I get caught in a storm? What if, you know, I don't know what to do? What if, what if, what if we could what if ourselves to death? What prevents us from leaving what is comfortable and manageable in our own power? Is it rejection and ridicule? Is it hard choices? Is that what keeps us standing right on the edge? Is that what keeps us to where we go, you know what, I'm still in control here. This is manageable for me. And because this is manageable, this is controllable, I can see where the line is drawn. I'm not going out there. I'm not doing that. How many times are we unwilling to surrender ourselves to the call of the Father And you know, this is what I said in the first service. I'm going to say it again. I'm not talking about, okay? I'm not talking about that, oh God, please don't send me to Africa. Don't send me to Zimbabwe. I'll go anywhere, but don't send me there. What I am talking about is that gentle, still, small voice that says, love the unlovable. Love the unlovable. Don't be afraid. You know what? You may get yourself into more than you can handle. Not what God can handle, but what you can handle. There was one time when we went to Florida with some friends of ours, Steve and Christy Dale, who used to be members here. We went on vacation with them, and we had a condo and had a pool and all this stuff, and it was the first opportunity that I'd ever had to take Eli swimming. And it was the coolest thing in the world, you know, because I was just this awesome dad. And, you know, I get out there and everything, and we get all geared up. We get the suntan, you know, lotion on and all that stuff, and we're ready to go. And, you know, there's kids screaming, hollering, and playing. I'm thinking, this is going to be great. It's going to be awesome. I'm so excited. I get to have this experience with my son, you know, and it's just this great thing. And I get down in the water, you know, and all, you know, I'm encouraging him the best I can and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm down in the water. I'm looking at Eli. I'm going, all right, buddy, come on, jump. You can do it. It's going to be great. Look at the water. Splash, splash. You know, and everything's good. And Eli starts, like, looking around. He can't take his eyes off of just all the stuff that's floating around in the water, you know, the toys and all these things that I'm just excited about that we're going to get to play with together. And I'm going to get to, you know, have that fun with him. And he's seeing all these other people. He's hearing the noise and the excitement, the pool going everywhere and all that stuff. And I'm down there, I'm encouraging him, just on and on and on. Eli, come on, buddy, you can do it, you can do it, it's going to be great. Look at the water, look at the toys. You know, all the dads are going, man, I wish you could be a dad like that guy. You know, all the ladies are going, he's so awesome. You know, and I'm just sitting in there, and everything's just happening. And the next thing you know, it's like, I'm going, come on, buddy, come on, you can do it, you can jump, daddy's right here, come on, do it, it's going to be so much fun. And he's just like looking around, he's going, I'm not doing it. And I'm getting frustrated. I'm not showing it on the outside, because remember, I'm a good dad. But then all of a sudden, I mean, I'm telling you, on the inside, I'm going, jump! Just jump! I'm thinking to myself, he's got to know. He's got to know that daddy wants good for him. He's got to know that daddy's not going to, like, go, come on, Eli, jump. And when he jumps out there, I'm going to go, woohoo, see ya. He's got to know it. He's got to understand that. So, you know, we're sitting there, and it's like I'm getting frustrated. I'm not going to lie to you. And he keeps on and keeps on, and finally I was like, oh, geez. So I get right up against to the edge of the pool. I reach over there, and I take his, you know, his little hands, and I'm holding his hands, and I'm looking at him going, Eli, daddy's right here, man. Just jump. Just jump. And he's still looking around. I said, don't look at anything else. Don't focus on that. Look at me. Right here, look at daddy. So we're talking, and every time, you know, he starts kind of looking around, I'm like, right here, right here, right here. I gently start kind of moving back a little bit. I said, come on. I wanted to yank him in, but I'm just kidding. I got his hands and everything. That was awful. I got his hands and everything, and he jumps. And then he jumped. 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 It's like, dude, aren't you tired? You know? So it's like all this is happening and everything's going on. But, you know, the thing was, is Eli was not ready to surrender himself to the voice of his father. I'm going, he's got to know. He's got to know that my intention for him is good. I often think, I really do. I often think that God is up there, and sometimes he's going, man, just jump. Just jump. After all the blessings, after all the things that they've seen me do in so many people's lives, their friends, their family, their own personal lives, they've got to see these things. Just jump. Please. I want you to experience so much more. We've got to move, just like Eli had to move. We've got to move from just a knowing and an understanding to a trust that is experienced. That once we experience what God is doing and how He's moving in our life, that knowing becomes solidified in our life to where it's something we can go back to. I remember when. I remember when God did this. And we hold on to it. All weekend, we've been talking to the students about inverting their life. That's the theme. That's what the N is you see on all their shirts. And inverting their life. What is an inverted life? What does it look like? An inverted life is a life. It's one that says, you know what, I'm going to do the opposite of what the world expects. I'm going to do the opposite of what people think I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. The world would say, man, don't go out in those deep waters. That's not safe. That is not safe. Don't get to know your neighbors. That's not safe. Don't share with people about your relationship with God, because you know what? They might just look at you a little strange. Don't be willing to say, you know what? I'm going to go on a mission trip, and I'm going to take some time off from work to do that. When you say, you know what? I'm fine right here. I'm fine right here. I'm comfortable. This is good. I can deal with this. I can handle this. This is manageable for me. Why deal with the needs of others? It's really not my problem. It's not my problem. Why take time to get to know my neighbors? Because you know what, man? I tell you what, when I get home, I'm tired. I'm tired, man. I've been at work all day. You know, why get to know my neighbors? I'm not gonna do that. You know, I got to make sure the garage is cleaned out. You know what I'm saying? That way, I can push that remote. Man, that door's up before I even hit the driveway. You know, if they're standing by the mailbox, I just do this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're laughing because you've done it. All right? You pull in the driveway, you pull straight in, you hit that button again, and you're in. You know what? You ain't got to worry about it. You ain't got to worry about it. Man, I'm tired, and I still got to go in and deal with the kids. Forgive? You want me to what? Did you hear what that person said about me and you want me to forgive them? Forget that. Here's the best one of all. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Man, that's just for kids. don't start pulling that little thing out, because that's just for little kids, you know, about sharing toys and all that stuff. Speaking nice, not saying bad things about people. That don't apply to me. An inverted life is one that not only goes out into the deep water, but are you ready for this? Because I guarantee you, there's some of you that are sitting out there this morning that you're going, you know what? Here I am. You know what? All right, Terry, I know where you're going. Okay, we're gonna go deeper in our walk with the Lord. You know, I'm gonna commit to read my Bible more. I'm gonna pray more and all that stuff. You know, I'm pushing out into the deep water. And that's great. I'm going to see some wonders. I'm going to see some good stuff that God does. And you're saying, you know what, I'm willing to do that. But here's the thing. So you're out there, you're floating around in your little dinghy, okay? And all is good. Well, guess what? A storm's coming. Not a storm might be coming. A storm's coming. And guess what's going to happen next? God's going to say, get out of the boat. Oh, wait a minute, God. I'm safe here. I'm out deep. I'm seeing your wonders. I'm seeing your miracles. I'm seeing all this stuff. I'm speaking to my friends. I'm getting to know my neighbors. I'm trying to be effective in my community. You know, we're playing soccer. We're playing baseball. We're cheerleading. We're in the band. We're doing all this. Our kids are involved. You know, people know we go to church. But I really don't want to get involved in that person. And quite frankly, I really don't want to love that unlovable person that nobody else really likes on the team, because then we may not get invited to the party. God's going to call you out of the boat. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 25. It says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, 'Is it a ghost?' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord,'" and stop right there. You know, Peter had a way of really just speaking before his brain had time to think about what he was doing. And I told the first service, and I'm going to tell you the same thing, I have a tendency to do the same thing myself. We speak sometimes so quickly before we even think. We make commitments to the Lord even sometimes before we even think about what the cost might be. So, it says, "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.'" And at that moment, I can only think that in Peter's brain, he went, "Oh, gosh." Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But just like Eli, he started looking around. He started looking at the water and the wind and the waves and just everything going crazy. And I told first service, I'm going to tell you, can you imagine the men in the boat, the other guys in the boat were probably going, "Peter! Dude! You're going to drown!" And in the midst of all of that, and the screaming and the hollering and the waves and the wind and all that stuff that's going on and everything that's taking place, and Peter's like climbing over the edge and he's starting to go out. He's looking at Jesus. He's focused on Jesus and he's walking out on the water. And then all of a sudden he's like, "What have I done?" And the minute, the voices, the ridicule. "You can't share your faith. You can't invite your neighbors over for dinner." "You can't play Christian music quietly at your desk, at your workplace." The voices start coming, and then you start going, okay, and you start sinking. Immediately, Peter cries out. He cries out. He says, "But seeing the wind and all these things, he became afraid and he began to sink. He cried out saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and he took his hand and he says, 'Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. Man, you've seen what I've done. You've experienced what I've done. You know the things that I'm capable of. Man, come on." He's not calling us to drown, but he's calling us to his likeness, to see his works and his wonders, to experience his wonders in the deep, and a fulfilling walk with him. You know, life gets messy sometimes, personally in our own lives. It gets messy in the lives of those that are around us. The winds and the waves, they're going to come. The temptations, the struggles, the disappointments, it's going to happen. But just like Peter, we've got to learn that we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. That when the winds and the storms and the waves and the shouting and the confusion and all those things happen, we immediately find ourselves going to that place of stillness, of solitude. We've got to find ourselves of going to that place that we can say we're being still, that we're ceasing our striving. We've got to find that place that openly and admittedly, there are times in my life to where I just go, there's nothing else I can do but to simply find that place that I can just get on my knees and I can humbly bow before the Lord and just close my eyes and be still. And just simply say, God, encourage me and help me. I can't handle this. And I got to drown out the sounds, and I've got to drown out the craziness of the day. And it's not easy. It's not easy. Something that I think is interesting, and if you want to go ahead and turn back over to Psalms 107, it's interesting to me. You see it there, and you also see it in Matthew with Peter getting out of the boat. It's interesting to me because the same thing happened. There was a point of just, and the best word I can know is just agitation. A point of agitation and just uncertainty and uncomfortableness of just, what do I do? What do I do? I don't know how to handle this. I'm out of what is manageable for me. I'm out of control and I can't deal with this. What do I do? It says in Psalms 107, it says that they reached, in verse 27, 29, it says that they reached their wits' end. They reached their wits' end. These were men who were on the sea. They knew what they were doing. They were out on the water. They were sailors. They did their business on great waters. This was not the first time that they had pushed off to sea. The storm was so bad and going up and going down and that it caused them to act as they were drunk. They were stumbling all over everything. And they didn't know what to do. They had done everything. I can imagine that they were dropping the sails so that they would slow down. I can imagine they were possibly throwing the anchor out, throwing stuff off, going anything to save us. Anything they knew to do, and their wisdom that they had and that they understood about being on the sea and being in the ocean. They had done it. It says they were at their wits' end. I went and looked it up, and you know what it says? It says that all of their wisdom was swallowed up. Their souls melted away like wax. If you can get that picture of a candle in your mind that's just burned and burned and burned and burned and burned and burned and burned until now it's just out because there's nothing left. They cried out to the Lord, just like the men with Peter on the boat. They're going across the water, and all of a sudden they're like, what do we do? What do we do? There's a storm. Oh, we're freaking out. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? And, oh, there's a ghost. And then God calms the storm when they cry out to Him. But then from there, what's awesome for me is, the common thread is after it's all over, they praise Him for His works. They praise Him for His wonders. And they give glory to Him for how awesome He is and His ability. Inverting your life may not always be the safest place for you to be. inverting your life may not always be the safest place for you to be. And students, I've told you this 1,000 times if I've told you once. It's not always going to be the most popular thing for you to do. It's not always going to be the thing that, you know, you go to somebody and you say, hey, even Christians, this is what's really funny. God's calling me and my family to ... We're fixing to sell everything we've got and we're moving. What? You got a good job, man. What are you thinking? You got an awesome house. What are you thinking? And your kids? Are you thinking about your kids? It's not even... Even with church people, living that inverted life is not always the most popular thing to be. But you know what? Here's the deal. Your life in knowing God and realizing that God is in control and realizing that the best place that you can be, the safest place that you can be, is right in the center of His will. Wildwood, God is calling us to a day that it's time for us to get busy. It's time for us to get busy doing the Father's work, moving into our communities, moving into our schools that our students are part of. And I'm not talking about going and we're going to save our schools, we're going to save our community. But moving in and serving people and letting them realize the love and the compassion of a holy and awesome God. Reaching out to them in a manner to say, there is something far greater than you can ever imagine to help you through this life and into eternity. But we have got to be willing to say, there's some things that we're going to change. We're not going to get overwhelmed and concerned about financially how things are going to happen. We're going to serve one another. We're going to take care of one another. We're going to take care of our community. We're going to forego time. We are the busiest people on earth. And we're gonna have to step out and say, I'm willing to give up a Saturday morning to go to Kennesaw or Ackworth and help do whatever. I'm willing to meet up at the church and go with a group of people to do something in a neighborhood. I'm willing to ... I told the students at the beginning of this year the kind of youth ministry that I wanted to be and what I hoped and prayed and still hope and pray that our church will become is a church that is writing the 29th chapter of Acts. That people will recognize us in this community, that if there were to ever come a day, for whatever reason, that we just said, you know what, we got to shut the doors. That the community would rise up and go, no, you can't. We need you. Now, I believe if we're doing what we're supposed to do, the day of us saying, well, we got to close the doors, will never come. The day has come to where, in a sense, if you can envision that this Wildwood Baptist Church, that this building is our ship that we're pushing out into the great waters of our community, that we've got to set some people around the outside of that ship, around the outside of this boat, and that we've got to be looking out and watching for Jesus to come walking to us on the water and go, there He is, It's not a ghost. It's Jesus. It's God calling us out of the boat to go to this part of our community, to go to this school and to do this. And for us at that point in time to come back and to say, we're coming. We're coming. And to keep our eyes focused on Him and to walk straight out onto the water with Him. Jesus has set the example for us. Jesus has set the example for us. We've been left with a few basic instructions that Luke wrote down. Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. Learn from me. Don't be afraid. Take nothing for your journey. Okay? Take nothing for your journey. In other words, trust me for everything you need. Go and do what I do. Be awake and alert. Proclaim the kingdom of God. Go in peace and be a testimony to me. Jesus is our example. And by that example, we are to invert our lives for Him. This morning, this is what I want to ask. I want to ask for those of you that are sitting out there that would say, man, Terry, man, I want to follow that God. I want to know this Jesus. I mean, I want to know Him. And I want to experience Him in a mighty and powerful way. I want to have that relationship with Him that just moves my life, that changes me, that turns my life upside down, that inverts my life. If that's you, then this morning, what I want you to do is I want you to be willing, just like Peter, before you really have time to think about it. Because if you give yourself just a second to grab hold of that pew in front of you, you won't come. I want you to be willing, the minute the music starts, to just get up and to come this way and say, God, I want to ask that you forgive me of my sin and that you let your son Jesus come into my life and let me live for you. Mold me, make me, change me. We're here to help you with that. And for the rest of you, you're sitting out there and you're saying, I've got a relationship with Jesus. None of us, hear me please, none of us are to a point that we can go, man, I'm done. There's nowhere else I can go. My walk can't get any deeper. I can't get out of the boat anymore. Yeah, you can. I want to invite you this morning to be willing to come down here and to say, God, show me what my next thing is. Show me what it is. Take me to that next place. Take me deeper. Help me, God, if you're struggling. Help me, God, to relinquish control. Help me to take the life vest off to where I have nothing else that I can be dependent upon but you. We can either continue to sit and be comfortable, or we can say, you know what? Let's change. Let's do this. Father, I thank you for this day. I give you glory and honor and praise for it. And Lord, man, if we could just grab a hold of just how great you are, of just how awesome you are, of just how powerful you are. If we could truly believe that we can move mountains, that we can do greater things than even your son did on earth. He himself said that. He himself said in John that those who believe in me will do greater things than even I. Help us, Father, to believe that. Help us to move forward and to push out even deeper to see your great wonders, your great works, and how you're going to use us. And Father, for that one or two or whoever is out there this morning that is trying to make that decision as to whether or not they're going to come and invite you into their life, God, please help them. Please encourage them. In Jesus' name.